The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The bells are ringing, so let's rise and sing our first hymn. In the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Yeah.
your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Shower, O heavens, from above.
And let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit.
Let the earth bless the Lord to start.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Their measuring line goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world.
In the end,
which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber.
And like a strong man runs his course with joy.
Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them.
And there is nothing in the heat.
Shower, O heavens, from above.
And let the clouds rain down righteousness.
Let the earth open, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit.
And let the earth bless his bones.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. What names does God have in the Bible? The Bible refers to God by various titles, such as God, the Almighty, the Lord, Father, Emmanuel, the Most High, Son of God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. The New Testament also reveals that God is rightly named as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See Matthew 28, where name is singular. When we pray in Jesus' name, we are calling upon the God who made all things, John 14. This commandment applies to our use of all such terms. Note in the Old Testament, God primarily used his personal name, Yahweh, Jehovah, is a misrepresentation of Yahweh. By New Testament times, the name Yahweh was no longer spoken aloud. When the Bible was read, the word Adonai, Lord, was substituted for Yahweh. This tradition continues in English Bibles that substitutes Lord with small caps for the name Yahweh. What does God say about vulgar or coarse language? God calls his people to use wholesome speech. Look at Commandments 6 and 8, Ephesians 5. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Matthew 15. It is not what goes out, goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. The Old Testament reading is written in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning with verse 15, for the fourth Sunday in Advent. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. The Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Here endeth the Old Testament reading. We continue with the gradual. The Lord is near to all who call on him. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Here ends the epistle reading. Please rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in the truth. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the first chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 19. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you? That we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. But there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Beth Baraba, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Here endeth the gospel reading. Confess our Christian faith with the words of the Athanasian Creed.
Pastor?
Yeah. Yes.
They're not in inserts, I don't believe, or in the bulletin.
Oh. Okay, so we'll confess the Nicene.
That's on page 53.
Page 53.
Okay. Whoever will be saved before all things, it is necessary that he holds the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost.
But
of the Godhead of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, is all one, and Lord and equal, and majesty is the Lord.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Ghost uncreated.
The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
As there are not three uncreated, nor three incomprehensibles, but one uncreated and one incomprehensible.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God.
And there are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord.
And there are not three lords, but one Lord.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion. There be three gods, or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is the Father alone, and not made nor created, but God.
The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after other. None is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are of one eternal and holy and holy God. Spread out among all things, as the Lord said, in unity to Trinity, and Trinity in unity to the three.
He therefore that will be saved must think thus of the Trinity. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man. Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul in human flesh subsisting. Who, although he be God and man, yet he is not two, but one Christ.
One, now by the virgin of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking a manhood into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. At whose coming all men shall rise again with their bodies and shall give an account of their own works. This is the Catholic faith. Which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved. Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn. But there's only four in our manual.
I wasn't watching the words.
The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
The theme is, what is your confession? So John confessed. He did not deny, but confessed. Jesus says, everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Rome, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. It is clear from these passages and the confession of John the Baptist that Christians confess. You call yourselves confessional Lutherans. That means that you confess to believe that the teachings of the Book of Concord are true because they agree with Holy Scripture. When I was ordained, I confessed that I believed the teachings of the Apostles, Nicene, and Athanasian creeds, as well as the teachings of the Lutheran confessions, to be in full agreement with Scripture. And I promised to teach them. You confess the Nicene Creed during most of your divine services. The Apostles' Creed should be confessed when you wake up each morning and before you go to bed each night. Dear saints in Christ, to confess literally means to say the same thing or to agree on something. So when you confess in church, you do not each confess your own personal views about God, Jesus, and yourself. You confess what God says about himself and about you. And you all confess the same thing because there is only one God who reveals all that you need to know about him in Holy Scripture. Nevertheless, confessing is very controversial. Because to confess means that you believe something to be true, which means that things that disagree with that confession are not true. To say that something someone believes is not true is rude. So then confessing is rude. And through a bizarre twist of logic, many Christians think that confessing is unchristian. Sadly, although the teachings of Jesus are widely available for anyone to read or to be taught, most would rather sit at the knee of their teacher, Pontius Pilate, who mockingly asked, "What is truth? Deeds, not creeds," is a popular slogan among American Christians. This is very tragic because it means that your filthy, rotten good works are more valuable than faith. For creed simply means what you believe. When you confess that your deeds are too wicked and sinful ever to earn you eternal life, but you believe in one whose deeds have saved you apart from your works, specifically Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, no, it is creeds that save, not deeds. Faith in Christ saves, not your tainted works. Likewise, the statement, deeds, not creeds, is itself a creed. It is a bad creed, which confesses that your works are more important than faith in Christ. Nevertheless, it is quite clear from Scripture that creeds are good, that confessing is good, but it is important that what you confess is true. John the Baptist, in the Gospel reading, confessed two things, one about himself and the other about Jesus. Both confessions were rooted in Holy Scripture. John confessed of himself that he was not the Christ. All Israel had been waiting for the promised Christ, whom the prophets had foretold many times. Instead, John confesses that he is the voice, as Scripture declares. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And you learned last week from John how John made straight the way of the Lord by preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Only those who confess their sins to God and repent are ready to receive the Lord with his forgiveness. John confessed of himself what the Word of God said about him. And you are called to do the same thing. When you confess your sins, such as at the beginning of the divine service, you are simply agreeing with what God's Word says about you. Scripture tells you that you are poor, miserable sinners. Scripture tells you that you are born in sin and that the desires of your hearts are evil. Scripture tells you what is right. Honor authority. Do not commit sexual immorality. Do not steal. Do not slander. And so on. And when you examine yourself, you see that you have failed and you deserve hell. Scripture tells you that your deeds are insufficient to rescue you from hell. Such a confession is humiliating. Most of you do not want to make such a confession about yourself. You'd rather confess yourself to be something you are not. Nevertheless, if John would have confessed himself to be the Christ, would that have made him the Christ? Of course not. It would have made him a blasphemer. Likewise, if you deny your sins, you are liars. Still, Scripture gives hope to those who confess your sins, because the humble will be exalted. And if you confess your sins, God will faithfully forgive your sins. John confessed of Christ. Among you stands one who you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And then the next day John says of him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." Now how can Jesus come after John? It has such a high rank that John is not worthy to unstrap his sandals, a common task of a slave. How is it that Jesus is both after John, having been born 6 months later, and started his ministry after him, and still he is before him? Since Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophecy from Deuteronomy 18, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me among you. From your brothers, it is him you shall listen." This is the prophet whom John denied to be. This prophet is the Christ. You see, Jesus is before John because he is God. He is the Word, who was with God and was God in the beginning, through whom all things were made, he made. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. He spoke to Abraham and promised him a son. He led the people of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He was on Mount Sinai with thunder and earthquake and a fiery cloud, terrifying the people of Israel. But now he comes after John, born after him, preaching after him. Why? Why does Christ, who is before John, come after him? And why does he come as your brother, born of a woman? Listen again to the Old Testament reading. just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb, on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see his great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I'll put my words in his mouth. You see, the people of Israel could not bear God speaking to them because God is holy, and they were sinful. So God had to hide himself from them. He could only be in their presence through a sacrificial system. Still now God speaks to them as their brother. He does not terrify them with fire and an earthquake, but he speaks plain words. They can see him. They can touch him. They can listen to him. God became man so that human beings could receive him through faith, believing in the words he speaks to you. John confessed Christ to be God and man. And you make the same confession today. You make this confession, first of all, because it is true and plainly taught in Holy Scripture. Second, because it is necessary for your salvation. If Jesus is not truly God and man, then you cannot be saved. You should know this well. If Jesus were not a human being, you cannot obey God's law in your place nor die for your sins. And if Jesus were not truly God, his sacrificial death upon the cross would not be sufficient to pay the price for your sins. He would not have had the power over sin, death, and the devil. He would not have had the power to rise from the dead or give you power over the grave. For this reason, you must always confess him to be God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. The confirmation students should cherish this in their hearts, and confess with their mouths what they have learned this past month. I believe in Jesus Christ, true God begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. Yes, it matters what you confess about Christ. Every single religion that denies that Jesus is both God and man teaches you to rely upon your works to be saved. This is not a coincidence. Unless God becomes man, you cannot be saved. There's no grace for you. Nevertheless, because God has become man, God does not come to you in fire and smoke, but with the words of peace and mercy. Just listen to what John says of him, who is ranked so high, he is unworthy to untie his sandals. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Think of that. By all rights, you should be less than slaves before him. You are not worthy to serve him or even wash his feet. Nevertheless, what does Jesus do? He bears all your sins. He behaves toward you as less than a slave. He serves you as the sacrificial lamb who gives his life for sins he did not commit. This is the true meaning of Christmas. That baby in the manger surrounded by a patient donkey and adorable sheep is the appointed sacrifice for your sins. He is the lamb provided by God, your scapegoat, the only one who can take God's wrath away. He, your God and brother, has come to die for you. Are you celebrating Christmas with some who do not confess Christ? Or are you embarrassed to confess Jesus to be true God and man, born to save you as you celebrate his birth? How strange that this is the situation of many as the entire nation celebrates the birth of Christ, while most will ignore its meaning. I would like to encourage you to do as John the Baptist did. Confess Christ. Who cares if it's awkward? Don't be worried about offending anyone. Confess Jesus to be true God and man, born to save sinners. As your family, as you gather as a family to celebrate Christmas, gather everyone around to hear the Christmas story from the Gospel of St. Matthew or St. Luke. Make it a family tradition. Confess the creed. Go to church and hear the gospel, which was first delivered by the angels. Your saints in Christ. Whoever confesses Jesus before men, Jesus will confess before his Father in heaven. With the mouth one confesses and is saved. Nevertheless, even more, you can only receive Jesus and his salvation through faith. And faith comes through hearing the words of Christ. So be that voice, the voice that confesses Christ. Or bring your loved ones to hear that voice. Not just this Christmas, but throughout the year. Let's always confess the God-man Jesus Christ. And rest assured that he is confessing you before the Father in heaven. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, throughout this Advent season, we have heard that Christ has come in the flesh, that he comes to us today in word and sacrament, that he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Guide us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be kept firm in your word and faith until we are received into your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, God of truth, as your servant John cried out in the wilderness, strengthen our pastors also to preach your word of truth in the wilderness of this fallen world. We give you thanks for the men who have been raised up to this holy task. Bless them in their labors and continue to send workers into your vineyard that they may be a bountiful harvest. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, we pray for fathers, mothers, and children, for husbands and wives, for friends and neighbors, for laborers and employers, for teachers and students, and for all who serve in godly vocations. Let us delight in your loving kindness and joyfully serve our neighbor with good works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks that in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. On this baptismal anniversary, bless Oliver, Barb, Carlene, continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. God of justice, you establish earthly government to teach us to obey those who rule over us. Send your blessing upon all who make, administer, and judge our laws, that your people may serve you in peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, surround and sustain those who are ill or suffering with the love of Christ, especially Steve, Kathy, Emma, Bob, Jackie, Barb, Jerry, Patty, Kristen, Julie, Marge, Wally, Roger, Sarah, Helen, Rod, Carlene, Carol, Pastor Mo, Mike, Jenna, Dennis, Ruth, Janet, Tammy, Roger, Steve, Larry, Rachel, Shirley, Deanna, Robin, Brianna, Chuck, Lizia, Gordon, Deb, Mary, Billy, Ted, Tony, the Langton family, the Leslie family, Grace, Belinda, and Talitha. Bring them healing in accordance with your own perfect will. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, fill us with joy as we approach your altar to receive the body and blood of Christ. Give us the peace that surpasses understanding, the gladness no man can take from us, and the hope that does not fade away. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the day spring from on high and the splendor of light everlasting. By his coming in the flesh and by his blessed word, enlighten our hearts with the gospel. Enlighten the hearts of those who sit in the darkness of unbelief with the light of saving faith. And enlighten those who dwell in the shadow of death with the certain hope of the resurrection through him. Grant that as we recall the thanksgiving, his advent in the flesh, we may always confess him and remain watchful of his advent and glory at the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Christ our Lord. way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take, eat. It's the body of Christ. Take, drink. The true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. take, drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins.
Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Upon thee and give thee.
words of